Hello and welcome to episode 41 of LDS Woman's Book Review. I'm Shanda here with my friends
Sheila
and Hillary,
and we have a special guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Julie Coulter-Pallon. I'm excited to be here with all my new friends.
We're having so much fun tonight.
Okay, anyway, we are here with Julie. We're about ready to talk about her book, Dangerous Connections, that came out just this... It comes out this month, right?
March 1st it came out. It's in stores
March.
Now.
That's great. You can go and find it at Siegel Book, Deseret, online,
Amazon.
Yep. DeseretBook.com.
All the best places to get books. Yeah. That's where my books are.
All right.
And she also wrote All's Fair. That was your last book a couple of years ago.
Yep, came out in 2008.
And it's related to Dangerous Connections. Dangerous Connections is a spinoff from one of the characters' stories, correct?
That's right, one of the doctors in All's Fair.
Okay, and we'll get more into that in just a bit. But I wanted to start out talking about when you were promoting All's Fair, you had a program going on for soldiers that was called...
Skittles for Soldiers. Yes, I did. I was so excited about that program because when I was doing the research, I got put in touch with a Marine unit that was serving in Iraq at the time, their second tour of duty. And as we got to talking, I found out how much they miss little things from home, like Skittles and, you know, just little things you don't really think much of. So we started the Skittles for Soldiers program in conjunction with the Red Cross and Operation Care and Comfort, who send care packages to Iraq and Afghanistan. And so when I was launching All's Fair, I also collected food and hygiene items for our soldiers overseas, and we ended up getting 713 pounds of hygiene and food items that were sent to soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we got a letter back that just said how thankful they were that someone that they didn't even know cared enough to send them something to help them get through a difficult time. So
that's a great thing.
I can tell it was a good experience for you.
It really was. The people of Utah are just the most generous people I've ever met.
And because of how well that went, you have launched another program with the release of Dangerous Connections.
I did. It's called Water for Warriors, and it's still in conjunction with the Red Cross and Operation Care and Comfort, but this time we're collecting beverage items because the water in Iraq and Afghanistan that's available isn't the best tasting, and so we're going to collect things like Gatorade and Crystal Light mixes and cider mixes, you know, Kool-Aid, things that will make it, hot chocolate mixes, things will make the water just taste a little better that they could mix it in with, because the summer months are coming and water is going to be a high premium then, and we want it to taste good.
So you can also get cup of noodles, right?
Is that you can get it is, and but you can't have pork. I guess they don't allow pork in the country, so if they do donate cup of noodles, no pork.
Okay. And then I also read if you take it into one like Siegel Book or Deseret Book, that you can
Siegel.
So Siegel, that you get to put your name in a drawing to win a copy of Dangerous Connections.
That's right, an autographed copy. So
I'm going to go do that.
Well, I know that the last time was very successful, so I wish the best for you this time around, too. Our soldiers deserve to be able to enjoy the water that they're forced to drink over there.
Oh, thanks. I think just to give them a little taste of home and let them know they're not forgotten. It's just something so small as a drink mix, you know, just to help them know that we care and we're grateful for their sacrifice. It means a lot to me.
Where can they find out some more information?
On my website. It's juliebalon.com, and it's all there. All the information is there.
Did I read some of this information also on Facebook? Was I wrong?
Yes, I have a. There is some on my Facebook page, and I've talked about it on the 6 LDS Writers on a Frog blog. And
so there's a lot of different places they can find the information.
That's true.
That's where I read about it was on Facebook.
Why don't we go ahead and move into actually what you've been reading recently?
Okay.
We usually talk about recent reads with us, but since we've been posting our reviews on the ldswbr.blogspot.com website, we've phased out our recent reading, at least
which is
detailed
kind of like, it's kind of like an hour off the podcast.
Well, and so that we can talk to the authors that we're talking with about the things they've been reading recently. Hmm. Do you have anything you'd like to share?
Well, I did a lot of Whitney reading recently, and so I kind of took a break from that for a little bit and read Hunger Games
with
one of my sons. So, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great book, and I can't wait to read the next part of it, Catching Fire.
We had an interesting
conversation about that.
It leaves you waiting for the third book, definitely. I can't wait till August 24th.
I already pre-ordered.
Oh, it comes
my
out
copy.
This year.
You did.
Okay, you'll need to read my review. I reviewed Catching Fire 2 weeks ago.
It was great. I love loved it. It was so funny. Great blog post. Yeah. It was funny.
I was, grossly misquoted.
I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
It was very funny.
One of the best blog posts I've
That's
read.
What made it so
but
funny.
But no, I pre-ordered my copy of The Mockingjay
on
Amazon.com.
I almost did today. I almost.
Good price. That way, for sure, I have it in my hands.
It'll be interesting to see how it closes up.
Team
you enjoy
PETA.
It?
I did enjoy it.
Team PETA.
I
like Gail, but
no, it's Team PETA. I think Gail's going to die. And that PETA is going to come out the victor.
I think you might be right.
Yes. I have to agree with you. Since I'm a red catching fire, I don't know. But I like both so far. Anything else? Besides Whitney reading?
Besides the Whitney reading. No, that took a lot of time for Whitney reading. And I just love the books like Methods of Madness. I think that's the book to beat this year. Stephanie Black is a very talented author. And I'm so excited for her. And I just haven't read a whole lot besides Whitney reading.
Did you read all the categories then?
No, I read as much as I could. And mostly I read historical and the romantic, mystery suspense. Let me say that.
I'm 6 books away from having read every single one.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yay! I'm only 25 away from having read every single one.
25.
I'm probably about 13. But that's okay.
You guys are awesome.
It's been fun.
I need a copy of, I don't think I'm going to get a copy of the Angels one.
I have that from the library.
In the historical?
In the Company of Angels.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll be able to get that one from the library in time. I'm on number 30, so do you? Okay, I'm going to have to snag that one for you. Because that one, I'm like number 30, and there's no way I'm going to get it in time. So.
I'll hurry
the Willie and Hancock Company is just so heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking
subject matter. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to read it because you just know you're going to cry.
Well, I finished The Price We Paid a while ago, and I really enjoyed that. It was definitely more historical with different accounts, and I read it over several months, so I just kind of picked it up when I was in the mood on a Sunday or something and read a few chapters. And it was eye-opening to me. It's the most I did not really know much, but reading that book really opened my eyes to a lot of what they went through and the miracles that happened there. So I'm kind of interesting to see someone else's take on it in the Company of Angels. So
You know me. I always start into every book, 2 to 3 to 7 chapters at the same time, as I'm getting and reading. And it's good so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it, but I will hurry and read that and get it.
Okay, I appreciate that because I don't know how else I'm going to get it read. It's the one book I'm worried about.
Nope.
But the rest I should have it.
Gotcha.
Okay. Good. You've saved my hiney a couple times.
Getting the books from the library.
But I did get
Eyes Like Mine.
Eyes Like Mine back to the library
Thank you.
Yeah, I read your review on that one. That was an interesting email you sent me.
Oh, you mean on Goodreads?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you agree?
Yes, I did completely.
Right. Absolutely. Have you read Eyes Like Mine?
I haven't.
Julie.
But it sounds really good.
It is pretty good. It's a good good read for young women.
Yes.
For younger readers.
Yep.
Anything else? Any other books we want to talk about before we move into Dangerous Connection?
I can't think of any.
That's like the longest pause we've ever had.
Let me just say this thing. As much as I have loved reading all the good books that have been up for Whitney Awards, I have this list of about 15 that are warring for number one, the first book to be read non-Whitney reading after April 3rd.
No, I totally agree with you.
I'm kind of excited
with having to read them by a certain date.
Mm-hmm. I love reading. I love being involved with Whitney's.
Love
it's just,
it.
Of course, I know we all do. It's just like we look forward to that time when we can read whatever we want. Although I still have snuck some other ones in there, like Getting Things Done. I've gotten 2 or 3 extra ones because I get to this point where I'm like, I have to read what I want to read or I'm not going to make it. So
that's my copy.
Remind me to grab my copy. I was going to pull it off the shelf. I forgot.
So did you go to the website and read the deleted ending to All's Fair or did you just go with the one that's in the book? Because on my website, I put the ending
that was deleted, but the
mushy ending.
I liked it much better.
Thank you. I feel vindicated.
No, seriously. After you told me about the other ending, it was just like, that should have been the ending for the book. And I know it would be no good to write to complain, right?
Well, I just really liked the ending to Brandon and Rachel's story better that way. But I love them as a couple.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adore them together.
I really did enjoy the ending there.
And of course, you find out a teeny bit more about what happened to them in Dangerous Connections.
Oh, good.
Yay!
I like the little cameo, little things that come in after. No, I have to tell you, Dangerous Connections looks really interesting. Going to Paris. I read, the Covenant Communications has their little bookworm email thing that I signed up to a while ago, and yours was the one that came across just a couple days ago. So I was reading, I skimmed the questions because I didn't want to read it, get any spoilers. So I kind of skimmed, what the trivia questions would be. What did she make for him in dinner, blah, blah, blah. And then at dinner, you told me.
Sorry.
The omelet.
No, because the recipe followed. So I guessed before you, but you've confirmed my suspicions of what it was that she made, but. And I saw, when I read about why you wanted to set the book in Paris. So why don't you kind of expound on some of those questions you answered for the bookworm email? Do you remember?
Some of them. Is there one in specific that's jumping out at you?
Well, just why you chose the setting you did.
Have you been there?
I did go there. After I graduated from BYU, my husband and I went to France and England for a graduation present. So,
that is wonderful.
Yeah, we traipsed around Paris. And
how long were you there?
We were there for 10 days.
Nice. So
it was fabulous. Aww. Just being on the top of the Eiffel Tower was so amazing. And you just can't, it's like the Tower of Babel because there were so many different languages being spoken all around you. It was just absolutely amazing. And the food is to die for. I could live there a happy, very fat woman because the food is so, so good. French bread here is not like anything it is there. It's so wonderful, and our hotel is right next to a bakery, and it was just
that would be my downfall. I'd just be in the bakery all day.
The pastries are so, so good. I loved Paris. I loved the people. England was wonderful. It was just a really great trip.
To go there too. We need to go with Zeldis from his book.
We should. We should.
Because we read so much about these places, we need to go.
And recruit some listeners from across the pond.
Oh, yes.
Find an LDS author. It's an Anna from England. Go visit her.
But Anna Buttermore?
Yes.
She wrote Easterfield, if I'm correct.
I think you're right.
I did read that book, and I liked it. Jane Austen-esque, in a way.
Yeah.
But with a Mormon twist.
Yes.
Which is good.
So why did you pick France, or Paris, though, to set your book in?
Well, partly because I love the city and partly because I love the dynamic between France and America. It's kind of a love-hate relationship a little bit. And I wanted to not showcase that, but just kind of explore
like
it.
My relationship with French fries.
I love it.
There you go. And so we have our American doctor who's there, and we have our French DGSE agent, which is like the French CIA counterintelligence. Mm, and that's where the story begins when they, of course, meet.
Exciting.
Yay! So how much research did you put into, or how much research did it take for you to really, did you do a lot to, let me rephrase this.
Lot.
Did you do a lot of research on the French version of the CIA?
Yes, I did.
And what did you learn?
I learned a lot about them. And that they are very active. And I got to see a little satellite image of their headquarters, which was quite secret and quite...
really?
Yes. There's lots of information out there about them. And it's really very, very interesting. It was for me. And then there was some reports coming out at the same time. I don't want to give away the story, but there was some question of whether the safety of the water for American, troops stationed overseas was safe. And I thought to myself, and they talked about how it could not be safe. And so that's how the plot was born. I thought, what if it wasn't? And, what if only one country had that information and they couldn't share it with the Americans because they were captured? And what would happen then? And so my little mind was
major intrigue.
Just going crazy. And so that's pretty much what happens. I have Isabella Flore is my DGSE agent, and she comes across the terrorist plot, and she can't tell anyone because she's captured. Captured by the terrorists.
Oh.
A very ruthless terrorist.
Okay, now you have a copy of your book here that we could look at the cover.
I do.
Let me go
grab it. Because I wanted to say I love the colors on your cover. I really do. I just think it's very striking.
I was so worried when, because they told me over the phone, well, so, since it's set in Paris, I thought they'd do like the Eiffel Tower or something Parisian, because the entire book is in Paris. And when they said, no, we've actually gone with bubbles.
You're going bubbles.
And I was thinking, you know, Lawrence Welk type bubbles. I'm going, this is a spy book. It's like suspense. We don't want Lawrence Welk bubbles. And I was just so worried and concerned. And then when I saw it, it has the biohazard sign in front of it with the sinister bubbles. So.
Oh, sinister bubbles.
Yes, they're not Lawrence Welk bubbles.
Well, that's
they're
a good thing.
They're sinister.
You know, this isn't a book on geriatrics.
That's good.
That's
a
right.
Geriatric entertainment.
Yes, there you go. But I just happened to, you know, glance at it and just went, wow, I like those colors. Because I think it makes a big difference because you know, you along with all the other authors, if, whether someone's really going to pick up that book to look through it, you know, if they can see.
It's eye-catching.
Yes. You know, they're going to pick up that book and start flipping through, look at the back cover, and if they don't like that front cover, they won't even pick it up. So.
Well, I was even worried about the title. This is the very first book where I haven't chosen the title.
Really?
See, I think that is so cool-looking.
Yeah, it ended up being being really good.
Yeah, those aren't Lawrence Welk bubbles. Those are a bit sinister.
Yes, and the biohazard sign makes a difference.
Yes, I like that.
That messes it all
up.
So,
what did you want to name this book? I'm kind of curious.
Thicker Than Water.
Oh, I like that.
That was my working title the whole time. And in fact, I had thought they were going to choose that, and then at the last minute they didn't. So, we got Dangerous Connections.
Did they tell you why they chose this instead and not the other?
No, they never really didn't.
Did they tell you that?
No.
They just said, this is going to be your title.
Go.
Enjoy it. We're putting bubbles on the cover.
In the
Because I like that other title also. That's very good.
Yeah. I know. Although I did have a couple of people ask me, well, what is Thicker Than Water? I'm going, blood. Everybody knows that.
I know.
But I didn't want to say that to their face. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Just kind of
look
at them.
No, oil. Oil is thicker than water, too. There you go.
True. If you're one of the people that said that and you're listening to this, I love you.
Please buy my book.
But you should have.
Yeah, this looks really interesting. Tell us a little bit more about your main character, about Tyler. What made you choose to write in a male's perspective versus a female?
Well, I loved Tyler in All's Fair because he was struggling a little bit with being where he was. And so now he's done with his tour of duty in Iraq and he's going to Paris to have some little downtime with his father who has business dealings there. And it's kind of his journey to finding a little bit of peace within himself after the horrors that he's seen and the helplessness he's felt because he was at a small outpost in Al Qaim, Iraq. And so he didn't have a lot of the things that he needed to save the soldiers because he was so far away from a hospital and that's haunted him. And so this book is a lot about, you know, him trying to find peace while he's helping, you know, getting caught up in these espionage things with Isabella. So. Mm. It's a good mix of a journey with an adventure, I think. An adventurous journey.
It just looks so good because I love Tyler.
I did love Tyler, too. And it was so funny. I had actually named his father Cass Winthrop in the book, and one of my readers wrote back and said, I used to watch soap operas, and Cass Winthrop was on Another World, and so I don't think you should name him that. And I thought, oh, I guess I better change that quickly. It's a soap name.
That's funny.
And
I don't know. I'd go with the cover.
Bubbles.
Oh, no.
That was a good one.
That was good.
Oh, there's a sweet little old man in my ward who loves LDS fiction. He comes to all the book clubs, even though he's the only man there. And so just to be fun, and when you look at him, you just think he's just so sweet. And so I named one of the terrorists after him.
Great.
In the book. And
have
I did get
the book?
He did read the manuscript, and I got his permission, and he was just so tickled. It's like, you know, it's so awesome to be a well-dressed terrorist. So
that's great.
Okay, so I want to know what you have that you're working on right now.
I mean,
obviously, you kind of expanded on Tyler's story.
Is this the end?
Is this the end of the people?
No, my next one is a little bit of a departure, though, because there's a guy in here that's kind of bad, and the next book is his story, kind
really
of the villain story a little bit, but he's kind
not
of.
Bad.
He's not really the villain, though. But
is it like a Star Wars pre-episode 5?
Prequel? No. He's just trying to, you know, find himself, find where he belongs. But he also gets caught up in some things beyond his control. And
is he American?
He is not American. He's from Europe this time. Okay. So his name is Ethan Barak in the story. So, yeah. And this one's set in Indonesia, so I've been doing a lot of research for that one.
You set your books in the best places. I mean, I love when you do that.
So are you going to go to Indonesia?
That was my question.
I would love to go to Indonesia. But I have a one-year-old baby, so the chances of me going are pretty slim. But I've been talking to people who have been there. I've been talking to people who have lived there, so, and doing a ton of research. So hopefully that will help. Because I've been to almost all my other locations I've ever written about. This would be my first one that I haven't been to, I think.
That's amazing.
Well, with all the detail on Google Earth now.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Almost visit there and never leave your house.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about the next one. I hope it does well because I've never done one about who's not the hero in or a good person in the book.
I like those.
That's a nice twist, though. I mean, because in series, as you always see that, where it's, you know, it's the same good people. So it'd be interesting to see it from a completely different perspective.
I think you'll have fun with it too.
I've had a lot of fun with it, and I really, really like the heroine of that one too. Because as you well know, I like strong women. I like women who aren't waiting to be rescued, that are just in there doing it themselves.
I love it.
We like that too a lot.
Yeah. You know, in my book here, there was a spot where Isabella, as I told you, is captured and she's handcuffed to a pipe with her hands over her head the book. And I have a very creative way of her getting out of that. And my editor wrote me and she says, "I've been in my office recreating this. And it's not working for me." And I just wanted
to. You're not a spy. Of course it didn't work for you. Hello, you didn't go to spy training.
Well, she was new in the company, too, and I thought if anyone had walked by her office and saw her pretending to be handcuffed with a pipe over her head, I did lie about this like last week. And I wrote her back and I said, "Oh man, I would have paid money to see you trying to recreate that in your office." But so my daughter and I recreated it and we fixed the part that was not working for her. But it was just so funny to even think that she would recreate something like that.
That is funny.
No, I thought I was dreaming things. It's like, I've heard this story before. Yeah. That's
'cause you wrote I wrote 10 things you'd want to know about danger, or 10 trivial facts about Dangerous Connections or something on the Fog blog.
I enjoyed that. I was just saying her point. This sounds so familiar.
Yeah. Obviously, you two don't read my blog, so it didn't sound familiar to you.
No, I do. I just haven't for a little while.
Yeah, me too.
In my defense, I don't read a lot
of
blogs.
Please forgive us. I've really tried. My Twitter is really pathetic. I haven't even gone there but maybe 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
I love to go there. Today. About tonight.
I saw that. I tweeted too.
I do tweet about LDS Women's Book Review stuff, but I haven't been able to do anything personal. But I have missed actually reading 6 LDS writers.
That is the best.
That is one of my favorite blogs.
Yes. It's out there. They have some of the best.
Especially when Rob gets on there. Oh my heavens. Cow.
He was so funny this past week with his diagnosis and curing one. Yeah. Oh, and then you have Rob, you're laughing with Rob when he blogs, and then you're crying with Carrie because she's so inspirational and so wonderful. And it's such a great mix of people.
No, it was amazing. I commented on Carrie's post that right when she was talking about everything that was going on with her, I had been blogging on the LDS Women's Book Review blog about Carrie's book, Counting Blessings. I mean, we posted those posts within, 10 minutes of each other on the same day, where she was talking about all her hardships. And I was posting about how much her book had strengthened me through things that I've been going through. It was just like, wow, go read this, Carrie. It's like, she just...
Yeah, she's amazing.
Strong
one of the most amazing women I've ever met.
I think she's just touched so many people's lives.
Yes.
And I hope she realizes that.
The best thing about Carrie is when you're with her, you're like the most important person ever, no matter what she's going through. She just has this ability about her. It's so Christ-like and so wonderful. Everyone just is drawn to her because she's amazing.
I was just going to say that when we've talked to her at the Whitney Awards, when I've interviewed her and when she received her Lifetime Achievement Award, she just accepted me as if she had always known me.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me once through different comments on different things that she would adopt me. Aww. And I could think of nothing better than to be adopted by her.
I know.
Because she's such a sweetheart.
Definitely.
No, it's very, if you haven't, that's one you need to go back and read. It's
good. So 6ldswriters.blogspot.com is the address for that. So Wasn't there a frog in there?
Yeah. The frog comes eventually. Or sometimes he pops up.
And it's the name of the blog, but the address is 6LDSWriters.com.
I was just joking.
I thought you were really asking.
The frog is visiting other bogs.
There you go.
Not blogs, bogs.
That's right.
Got it. Okay, so I want to know what other, like, extended projects you have in mind. I know you're not just working on one at a time. You probably have lots of ideas stewing around in there. What kinds of ideas have you played around with?
Well, there's so many things because I get a lot of my ideas from the newspaper. I teach journalism down at BYU and I read a lot of newspapers. And with the world that we live in today, there's just so many things that get my mind going. Like, well, you know, what if that happened to an LDS person? You know, and what if you're in a situation like Brandon was in All's Fair, where all you have with you is your little pocketbook of Mormon and you're kidnapped by insurgents? You know, what would you do? And so all these little things just come to mind as I read them. Even when I'm sitting in church sometimes, like, what if terrorists broke in right now during sacrament? What would I do? Put the kids under the bench. Would you run away?
I think that's great, but it just is so fun because it's so in line with, you know, I believe that. And that's kind of a good way to, when you're just lagging a little bit.
As long as it was the third Sunday, High Council Sunday. That'd be
and if anyone from my ward is listening, I wasn't thinking that when you were speaking.
I don't know. I think Fast Sunday would pretty much do it.
I love naming people in my ward in my books, though.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny? Every one of my books has someone from my ward in it.
So they probably are excited to see who's going to be in there.
They totally are. Everyone from my ward last week is like, is your book coming out this week? Am I in it? It was very funny.
Usually just put one person or one?
Yeah. Sometimes I do more than one, but mostly just one. So it's fun. I have a great ward, and they're all really supportive. So
I think you need to go to Africa next.
I would love to go to Africa. That would be awesome.
With everything that's going on down there. And,
yeah, you know. For sure. Well, and even, you know, with the natural disasters that are happening now, you just think, you know, what would you do? That would make a great story, too. You know, there's going to be crime going on. There's going to be opportunities for, you know, Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations to take advantage of the situation. And you have a lot of Americans down there trying to help. Yes. And it's,
a group of them coming to help.
That would make, and they happen to be LDS.
Yeah,
exactly.
There actually is a group in Haiti right now. There are. Quite a few, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
That's been a hard thing for me, though, a little bit, is the LDS part. Some people have thought that there's not enough LDS in my books, and some have thought there's a little too much. And it's hard finding that balance sometimes.
I think you have a perfect balance in your books with that.
Well, and you're not going to please everybody that way. But I think if someone's reading a book, a clean, fun, adventurous book, and they're gauging how much LDS is in there, they might be reading for the wrong reasons.
I agree.
If they're worried about how much LDS is in there, stick to the Book of Mormon.
Right, exactly. Yep.
As far as I'm concerned, if it's clean and there's good moral and uplifting characters in there that are strong and there's inspiration,
then what's the problem with it? Yeah.
Well, and you know, everybody reads a book differently. We all can read the same book and have totally different experiences.
Which we do. All the time.
But we are all coming from different avenues in life. We're all going to see different situations in a different,
absolutely.
Different life.
And neither, and none of those things takes away from the other person's.
Absolutely not. It's just a different point of view.
So I agree.
We do. So,
I'm sorry. I guess I should apologize if you're reading it, gauging on how much LDS there is. Maybe that's because it's important to you, and that's okay.
I don't apologize. I just don't agree.
That's just an opinion.
America, and we all have our.
And it's just an opinion to take relief.
We have our free agency.
Well, one really awesome thing about Dangerous Connections is they got a French lady to read it for the CD, and I was listening to it as I was driving up here.
Oh, really?
And it is amazing. Her accent just totally blows me away. The book, but she doesn't. It's like she can turn it on and off because she has a totally American accent for when she's reading the book, but when she's talking about Isabella and the French people, then her accent is there, and I have quite a bit of French in there, and so she has that, and
perfect.
Oh, it just is wonderful. They did a great job.
I know.
Like, I'll get the audio book instead.
It totally blew me away at how much I loved the lady reading it. I wish I could remember her name. I'm sorry. The awesome lady.
I usually don't listen to the books on CD or tape because I prefer to read them.
Me too.
But I'm intrigued now. I would like
to. I know. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just listen to that one.
So listening to people with French accents is so...
intriguing.
Just the way they form their words and everything.
I love that. And just hearing my words come out of a French person's mouth, and it sounds so awesome.
Don't you feel smarter, too? It's like when a British person says something, you're like, and they repeat what you say, and you're like, yes, I do sound smart, don't I? Like, oh, yes.
Exactly. Do you speak French, though?
I do speak French. I'm Canadian. And
I remember reading on Facebook every time Canada would win a gold medal.
Yes. 14 gold medals. Hey, Canada.
So what part of Canada are you originally from?
I'm actually from Alberta. I came here from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Came to BYU.
Is that where you
and I met my husband, who's American. And so we got married and we stayed here.
I love it.
So, but my entire family is still in Canada and I miss them.
Well, we need to hear some French. From your lips. Can you speak for us, please?
Well,
do you want us to tell you what to say? I know people say, well, what do you want me to say?
Say what do you want me to say in French?
It doesn't matter what you say because
we aren't going to understand it.
French sounds cool.
Je m'appelle Julie Ballon. Comment allez-vous? Comme s'il vous plaît.
I understood everything.
I don't
care. I don't even speak French.
There you go.
Cool. How do you say awesome in French?
You know, I don't know awesome in French.
Awesome?
Yes, put an accent on it. There you go. Awesome.
Now I want to go home and watch French Kiss.
It works with Spanish.
Yeah, French Kiss. He did a great French accent in that movie.
Oh,
I think Kevin Klein did.
So good.
He was
adorable in that movie.
Very talented when it came to that movie.
Yes, he was.
Yes,
it's hard
he was.
To believe he's the same guy that played Dave.
I know.
But I know I love Dave.
Dave was cute.
I like Dave, too. Yeah.
He was just on TV last week.
It's one of my
it's one of my husband's favorite movies. And I like it, too. I'm just saying it's interesting that he can play. I mean,
he's
so
he's
flexible.
Very, yes.
My favorite part is when he was singing Oklahoma when he comes in with his bike. And then he turns around and...
That was funny.
Yeah. The Secret Service guy.
Now, you know who else was very talented? Who? Jim Varney. You remember Jim Varney?
No.
Avern, you know?
Oh! We're all just sitting there.
That pregnant pause.
I only know this because my kids were watching Ernest Goes to Jail earlier today, so.
Avern.
He was in my mind,
I completely forgot about him.
I don't know if he speaks French, though.
I highly doubt he speaks French.
Really didn't.
It's like this
anywhere.
Is a huge tangent, but that's okay.
But he was a talented guy.
I have a question for you. So if you're working on the next story for this villain, do you have a projected, totally back on track now, do you have a projected release date?
I don't yet.
Have you written a couple chapters yet? Where are you at so far?
I've actually finished it. I just haven't submitted it.
How come? What's the hesitation?
Well, it's kind of been that LDS thing. I don't know if there's enough LDS in it. Yeah. I don't know if my publisher is looking for, you know, something that's just a clean read. So that's kind of my hesitation.
Right?
I could ask them. Thank you. I probably should.
I think I would just go for it. Send it in and then
see what they say. And if they say,
there,
yeah,
should be starting the process.
I mean, it's not like you've never published a book before.
I know, but each book is so different because I feel like I'm submitting again for the very first time with each book.
Oh, really?
Isn't that odd? I know. It's probably just me.
I think it's a little sentimental, but I can tell you're a little sentimental.
I am.
Well, I think it also shows a lot of humbleness on your part because you haven't gotten cocky.
Oh, thank you.
About your writing, even though you have every right to be.
Merci.
Beaucoup. Yeah,
merci beaucoup.
Oh, yes. I say that. I don't know how to say thank. You're welcome in French. How do you say that?
I don't remember. I only took a semester. It was in seventh grade.
Je vous en prie or something like that.
I have no idea. But I don't know.
Sorry,
what
my mind is blanking on the French now that
you've
called attention. I took years and years of it.
So when you are submitting a manuscript for review and you've already published, you know, so a few novels, you've got some under your belt, you know, what is the biggest concern for you as a published author each time you submit a new manuscript? You're not worried about actually being turned down flat, are you? Are they more willing to work with you if you're already published?
I think they're more willing to work with you. Covenant has really, you know, bent over backwards to work with me, and Dangerous Connections ended up having 4 rewrites, and so that was a little bit, I was just glad they were working with me, that's for sure. But I think the thing for me is my feeling that what if they hate it? What if they come back and say,
oh, they're not going to hate
it. Try again, you know.
They're not going to say that.
I know. It's just my own little insecurity as a writer.
But do you like it? I mean, obviously you have to like
it. I love it. I think it's my very best book.
So. Really?
But Dangerous Connections is good too. It's like picking your favorite child, right. You know, depends on the day.
Exactly. So I have a question. If I know you're in the, you know, with mystery suspense, what's a genre that you'd like to write that you haven't trickled into yet, but are thinking about or hesitant or would like to?
I've had an idea for a long, long time, and it would be a historical. My ancestry is Métis Indian, and in fact, my grandmother was the very first Métis woman ever appointed to the federal government in Canada.
That sounds fascinating.
And I have a story that's kind of been germinating in the back of my mind with the Métis people. But I've never written it, obviously, and it would be historical. And
that sounds like fun, though. It sounds interesting, something that, you know, none of us would know much about.
Yeah, and one of my ancestors was one of the best trackers in Canada in the 1600s, and he left behind a small journal. And it, just the idea of it
is
exciting for me. My someday project.
It sounds good to me.
My opus. So
someday
my epic.
Comes
your epic.
Day.
Your opus.
Yeah.
Mr. Holland's opus. Every day brings another someday.
Yeah.
Every day is someday. Someday could be tomorrow.
You're so philosophical. I should write that down.
I want you to write that book.
Oh, no.
It sounds interesting. Good.
Start it. Do something.
Yeah, I should.
Send us your first chapter.
There you go.
I'll tell you if it's good.
We'll hold our own personal Julie Coulter Milan first chapter contest, of which you'll be guaranteed to win because you'll be
there you go. Be careful what you offer. I might take you up on it.
I wouldn't mind reading your work.
Neither would the rest of us. That would be fun.
I will,
for
sure.
We would love to do that.
Okay. That would be enjoyable.
It might be frightening.
I'm not worried.
You guys are very, very honest. And I like that.
Well,
I was going to say, is that a good thing?
I was
it's definitely a good thing.
You know, I think we're honest, but we're nice about the way that we,
we try to be. We all have different preferences.
I know. I've only been hit once and burned once. And so
that's because you're doing better than me.
It had nothing to do with that.
I needed a guy.
Not by me.
Yes, by you.
Sheila and I are completely innocent. This is our disclaimer.
It was a love tap.
We have nothing to do with these injuries.
We're far, far away from all of the violence that has been happening this evening.
This is our disclosure.
No, seriously, Julie's one of those people that if you were a boy in high school and she smacked you, she was in love with you.
Well, now that's a visual.
She gives love taps.
That's right. Just means I like you. Now she just hit me again 2 times.
No, those were love taps.
They were
taps.
She has witnesses. I would like to steer towards the LDS Storymakers Conference that's coming up in April. You are going to be involved in that again. Would you like to tell us and share with us what you're going to be doing?
I'm wearing many hats this time. I'm teaching a class with Rob Wells about the 10 habits every successful writer should have, and he's going to bring the 10 habits he thinks, and I'm going to bring the 10 habits I think, and we're going to duke it out in
Love
the
it.
Class as to who's right.
Something to do with duct tape, I saw.
Yeah, something.
What's that with the duct tape business?
That's probably Rob.
Yeah, that's probably Rob. So
you can hit him for us if you want to.
And I can't
read that. Applauding.
Well, I don't, you know, the poor guy's been sick. You know, I don't want to get him when he's down.
He's fun to get to. That's going to be a great class.
That sounds really
Are
good.
Are you teaching it just once during that time?
Just on Friday.
On Fridays. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to have to get
And we're up against some really other great classes like Jeff Savage's class, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope somebody comes.
Oh.
At least one of you have to come.
Oh,
we will.
Definitely.
And then I'm doing a boot camp, and I'm also in charge of the first chapter contest this year. And we got a record number of entries, 197. So I've been uploading them and getting them out to judges and shepherding through the process.
And don't send any more.
Don't send any more. Deadline has passed. And I'm very, very sorry if you missed the deadline. I feel bad for all of you who emailed me and promised me cookies and chocolate. I wanted that, but sorry.
Little girls.
No more submissions.
And then Book Academy again in September. Is that the Book Academy conference? Is that happening?
I haven't heard any details yet, but last year they didn't email me until later in the season, so May or June. So hopefully if I get some details, I'll let you know.
Because I thought I had read somewhere that they would be having it be a two-day instead of a one-day conference. Mm.
There were so many great comments last year, and a lot of people wanted it to be a two-day instead of a one. So
yeah, I was just
it went so
warmed
fast.
Up, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, no.
That was so fun to work on. I worked on it with Lisa Mangum from Deseret Book and Kelly Smirthwaite from Covenant, and then with UVU, and we had a great time at all our planning meetings. So
I just feel they're so valuable for people like us that blog, that, you know, like with us with our podcast, but they'll, you know,
and that we're one day all, we'll write. One day we will. We'll
yeah, get a book well, out there I've someday. Started. I've just been, I was almost this close to entering the You first should have.
You totally should have.
And that's because you didn't call it the first paragraph contest. Yes. So we all would have entered if yes, it was the first paragraph contest.
My first paragraph was really good.
So what is the thing you're looking forward to the most this year for the LDS Storymakers Conference?
Seeing all my old friends. Mm-hmm. And some there's some girls that come from Canada every year that bring me ketchup chips. I love them.
Oh,
and
ketchup chips.
I tried those for the first time when a friend from Canada came and visited.
What in the world are ketchup chips?
They I should have brought you some. They're so good. I miss Canada food. My mom sends me care packages every other month of Canadian food because I have my shreddy cereal that I love and my caramel chocolate bars.
Are they wrapped in plaid?
No.
That's
well, the toffee is. I don't know about plaid. I didn't wear a lot of plaid.
I'd like to try the Canadian chocolate.
It is so good. I have to bring you some.
You know what? Just sneak some to Storymakers and then we'll come find you.
Okay.
And some ketchup That'll chips work. That I have to
They're
try.
They're good. I've tried
They
those.
Are really good. And there's all-dressed chips that are really good.
All-dressed? What is that?
It's like a spicy whole bunch of all-dressed things. You cannot describe it. It is just so awesomely good.
So do you have any other classes that you would specifically recommend or that if you were not teaching that you would take, or are you taking any classes in LDS Storymakers?
I do not want to miss Jeff Savage's Character Bible Workshop. It's more than a class this year. It's a workshop, a hands-on workshop.
Oh, so it's different than him just presenting because I went to his last year.
They're actually doing workshops, so it's more one-on-one. There's quite a few listed there that sounded really good. So, but Jeff Savage just stuck out to me because I love how he develops his characters with his Bible.
It's amazing what he does.
I know. So many talented people. I just go to the conference and stand in awe of people like, you know, Jeff Savage and Stephanie Black. It's like, you guys are so talented, and I'm standing here next to you.
Well, you're very, very... worthy of being there with them.
I agree. So your class was awesome.
Yes, we did enjoy your class. So
well, they got someone else to teach editing this year and put me with Rob. So I don't know if I was demoted or I don't know.
We love Rob.
Yes, we do. That love man. Rob.
No, I remember the first time we met. Do you remember that?
Was it at the mystery dinner?
It was.
And there was an Elvis there. And
was there an Elvis there?
And I think you were expecting, weren't you?
I was just barely. Just I was like barely. 9 weeks, something like that.
Yes, I do remember that.
And we were wearing the same like black
sweater jacket thing.
Mm-hmm. I know, it was so funny. And I still like, we left and I got my picture taken with Julie Coulter.
I know, and you totally made my night. Like, somebody wanted their picture taken with me, honey. That was so awesome.
I was really excited to meet. I mean, there were so many authors there. It was the first time I met Jeff. I can't remember. No, I had my.
Isn't that where you met Rob?
Yeah, you met Rob that night.
Mm-hmm. He was in the grass skirt that night.
I had known Rob from before, though. I thought, or did I introduce myself there? I can't remember. But I met. I mean, Sonia Ryan was there. Michelle Ashman Bell was there. And I'll never ever be able to get that image of her dressed as the biker chick.
Yes, the biker chick. And Jenny Hansen had a gun. I have a picture of her with a gun.
I forgot that. And I remember I got my picture taken with Betsy.
It's too bad they don't.
Miss Eugenia, wasn't she Miss Eugenia?
Who was in charge of that?
Carrie was.
Well, that was
Covenant did it, but Carrie wrote the dinners. And
it's too bad that they couldn't do anymore.
I know, those were so fun. And I
won. Julie, you don't know how to say no. Can we ask you?
Yeah. Something else to do, Julie.
How about for next month?
Well, that would be a lot of fun if they could work something like that together.
That would be fun.
It's been so long since that's been done. But I was really disappointed when they didn't have one the next year because I was so looking forward. I met so many people that night. Mm. It was a lot of fun, but it was so crazy the way they had their shopping set up. That was just...
Yeah, that was nuts.
You know, that's when I actually picked up Dead on Arrival. Mm. I picked up Dead on Arrival that night. It had just been released from Jeff Savage.
Are you going to go there?
What?
Are we going to bash Jeff?
The cliffhanger.
No, oh, that's beating a dead horse.
Yeah. No.
Oh, dear.
And I'm groaning my own
jokes.
The funny
thing is, he just sits there and smiles when you get after him because
when you threaten to beat him with his flannel board.
Yep, he just kind of smiles.
Jeff.
I know.
Oh, well.
No, but I just wondered if you remembered the first time we met. It was
Aren't you proud of me that
night.
I remembered?
Well, I'm just honored because I didn't know if you would. Because
I didn't know you made my total night that whole time. It's like, oh, man.
Well, I felt like, I mean, we're just the way we were talking, everything. It felt like we were sisters.
I know. It's like
we
were old friends.
We hit it off already and we hardly even you know, talk for 2 minutes and just felt we were such kindred spirits. So it's been an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
And then glad you finally were able to come. And we've been wanting, haven't we, all the time. We talked for months and months and months. Years to get Julie on the podcast. So
she's been avoiding us.
I'm really sorry.
Not at all. Not at all.
And last year at the Whitney Awards when I accidentally closed the wrong window and when you talked to us before the Whitney Awards gala, do you remember?
Yes, I do remember.
Did you listen to that podcast?
No, is something wrong with it?
That's well, good. I wouldn't be telling her now.
Tell me now. I was going to apologize because I was a new computer and everything, and I closed the wrong window and I lost my little interview with you. So I specifically mentioned you and what we talked about and everything, and I apologize. I felt so horrible when I realized what I did.
That's so sweet. You're just a thoughtful person.
And yours wasn't the only one I lost. I lost bronze, too.
You found that one though, didn't you?
I did find. I found that one later, but I actually thought I had lost his.
Aren't you special?
Right
then.
I am special.
We lost you
just because you. But you were the first one we spoke to. So number
it
one.
It was probably good.
Number
you lost
one
it.
Girl, first one.
And I'm number 41 on here.
Yeah. See that one thing. Are you involved at all in the Teen Writers Conference?
I am not, but I heard it is so wonderful. Josie Kilpack heads that up, and she does a great job.
So do you know anything about it, that they actually have to be 13, or can they be younger?
I don't know anything about that. I'm so sorry.
I have a daughter that really wants to go, and I said, well, you're 12. I don't know if you can go. And you have to be begging Josie with... telling her I will bring her cookies and chocolate.
And chocolate.
Because my daughter really wants to go to that. But I'm just curious what other things you were.
Maybe you could offer to bring her a key lime pie.
There you go. Oh, I've never made one.
Did that just... You don't know.
No, I do know, but I've never made one. I know it's her next book, Tamina. Of course I know that.
I couldn't tell by your response. I wasn't sure.
No, I've never made one. Me neither.
But Costco sells a big one.
Just go buy one. That sounds more like it.
Well, go ahead. I was going to say if there's any other questions.
I just was more curious. You know, whenever I'm reading something about you and you talk about your students, how often do you teach? And I know you said you teach journalism down at BYU.
I do. I have
is that like 2 days a week, 3 days a week?
Actually, I have the perfect stay-at-home mom job because I teach continuing education. So the students mail their lessons to me and I grade them and give them feedback on the internet or whatever mail their lessons back.
I kind of wondered how you did all that if you actually went down there and taught and had to come back
with
home.
Seven children and a writing career.
Seriously.
And teaching.
That just makes you more amazing to me.
Oh, thanks.
Because it's hard. It's hard balancing everything. Just being, you know, a mom that stays at home or works or, you know, but to do all of it. You know, we all
and
work.
Plus scouts and basketball and all everything
road
else.
Shows.
Road
shows.
Everything else you're doing.
You are an amazing woman.
Well, thank you.
I feel like I'm barely surviving, and all I have to do is manage four children.
Don't sell yourself short. That's a big, big job.
No, it's a big, big job.
I mean, you think back what Oprah Winfrey always says. She says, you guys, you know, stay-at-home moms have the best and hardest job. So.
Amen. Well, I will tell you how that it can be.
Oprah actually said something I agreed with.
I know it's probably one of the few things.
And it is hard to find the balance. You know, I think every woman has to find that in her own life, don't you think?
Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
Where your circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times my writing suffers. I so admire my writer friends who can write every single day and they have a set time because I can't do that. My children are going from age 1 to age 20. And sometimes I don't write at all, you know, that day or that week. And I just have to write when I can. And
that's okay.
And that has to be my life right now.
Obviously, you're getting done what you need to.
Well, it depends on the day.
No, that's good.
Well, that balance is never static either. It seems like, at least for me, that balance goes sometimes minute to minute.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
But you think you have it. You think you've reached that balance, that moment you end the day, you're like, okay, that's good. And the next day, it's a completely different ballgame.
Well, you know, I was so excited because my youngest was going to kindergarten, and I was like, this is when I'm going to be a real writer and write every single day because, you know, he'll be in kindergarten.
Right.
And the next year, he'll be in first grade, and I'll have all day to write. And I was so excited, and then we found out we were expecting our baby. And so that went out the window, so I've got a few more years before we're back
at
that point.
That's okay.
She's totally worth it.
I'm glad that you haven't resigned to not doing it at all, though. I mean, obviously, your all-day writing can't necessarily happen right now, but you still are pursuing that dream.
Thanks.
That's a lesson to all of us moms, I think.
Amen.
I agree, because sometimes I feel terribly overwhelmed, you know, working full-time, being a single mom, and I want to be a writer. And I'm just trying to keep up with reading and blogging. And
well, writing is a stress reliever for me because I can sit down and just for a little while, everything goes how I want it to go. How, you know, I make the world and everyone does what I want it to do in that world. And it's just such a stress reliever.
I like that a lot.
For me.
Okay, give us some advice for, since just look at us all as aspiring writers here. You know, someday we're all going to write our book. I know we are.
One day.
All of us will. I know we will.
Hey, what was your quote about someday being today?
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's make that a magnet.
Seriously.
That was a really good quote.
We'll sell it from our website or something.
Yeah, there you go.
But seriously, what advice would you give to us, those of us that really, truly want to be a writer and get our word or message or thoughts out there?
Well, we were talking a little bit earlier about one of my favorite quotes from Galaxy Quest was never give up, never surrender. And I really think that that makes a difference between an unpublished writer and a published writer is those of us who give up and say, I just can't do it. And those of us who don't and say, you know, even if I do just a little bit today or a little bit tomorrow, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to give up and I'm going to go after my dream. And I think that's so important, especially for someone like you as a single mother, to show your kids that even though you're a mom, you still have goals and dreams and things you want to do. And you're sent here to develop your talents, you know, just like anybody else. And it's a good example for them to go after their dreams as well.
That's a good point.
Very good point. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
It's inspiring.
It is.
Now we're all crying.
World now. Seriously. Because, you know, I think as women in general, sometimes we doubt ourselves and our abilities and what we can accomplish.
Or you're like me and you say yes to everything and you think you can't do it all. And
it's very true.
It's something to think about.
I guess having your priorities in order. Making it a priority and then doing it, basically. Right?
Well, and frankly, my biggest secret is having such a supportive husband. I just couldn't do anything I do without him. And he's just amazing. And I'm glad that I have that because I don't think I could do anything I have done without him.
Mm.
And my kids.
Very good.
You're very proud of your kids.
I am. I have 5 boys and 2 girls, and they're just everything to me.
Well, you're a good example to them. Mm-hmm. And you're a good example to me, too.
Likewise.
Oh, thank you.
And we appreciate you taking the time to come
and
visit with us and talk about your book. I can't wait to read it.
It's like this huge honor to finally be invited.
We've been wanting you on for a long time. We're just glad we finally made it priority to get you on here because life just happens, you know,
yes,
things
it
happen.
Does.
And we made you a priority.
Thank you.
So we're glad to have you here. And I'm going to have to make Dangerous Connections my reward for editing the podcast. Because
there you go.
Otherwise, I will just sit and read it and the podcast will sit and wait to be edited. So,
well, I'm so excited.
I'm going to dangle my carrot. Yeah, I'm excited to read it and tell you what I think.
Is it time for our song?
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah, we told Julie she has to sing with us.
Yes. Yes, she does.
But that was after
like
the
eye
Lola.
Moving.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was laughing about when you guys were Facebook. Talking singing Barry Manilow.
Yes. Well, it came on the radio and I thought, and everybody knows that song, Copacabana.
I love that song.
I don't really know that song very well.
She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there.
I remember Hillary singing Lola Copacabana when we first got these things. You got anything else?
No. That's pretty much the end of my repertoire right there.
We should end with a primary song.
No, it's not 11 o'clock. It's not time for primary songs yet. That comes later.
You know, anybody know any good Coldplay songs?
I can't sing it very well, but Coldplay. I don't know if anybody does, even Coldplay. But
80s, come on. Something 80s.
That's good, Lola. That covers.
Is that from the 80s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Early 80s.
Well, thank you for the musical pleasure, ladies.
Yes, you're welcome.
You missed the eye rolling from Shanda, but.
No, they probably heard my wheezy squeal of laughter. Glad I wasn't singing that song. No, anyway, we're so glad you came. And thank you for coming in and dining with us and sharing your book with us.
And getting burned.
That was a wonderful dinner. It really was. Thank you.
My husband
I will never
he's a
forget.
Pretty good cook when it comes to Mexican food because he likes
it. He's a good hubby. He's a good cook.
His food's always good.
He helps out a lot with the cooking area, which is good. I'm a fairly good cook myself.
Yes, you are.
A little bit better than he is, but it's nice to have nights off, especially because this is his one big main, his one day at home, so he can cook breakfast and dinner, and that's okay.
There you go.
And change all the dirty diapers. He's pretty good, though. So he doesn't complain. He just does it. Oh, thanks. I can't wait to see pictures of your kids.
All right.
We can see pictures. You don't. Yeah.
Anyway, well, that concludes the episode 41 of LDS Women's Book Review. Don't forget to come and check us out on the web at ldswomensbookreview.com. That's our podcast homepage. There's our blog where we review our books at ldswbr.blogspot.com. And you can reach us at ldswbr@gmail.com or individually at Shanda, Sheila, or Hillary, you know, either one of those at ldswomensbookreview.com. I don't know how well those messages are getting through, if you're still getting them, because mine are forwarded to the LDSWBR@gmail address. But
mine comes straight through to my Yahoo address. So it looks out good.
All right. So you can reach us there, or you can find us on the web, and our email addresses are there also. So thanks for joining us. And thanks again, Julie. Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Yeah. We're having so much fun tonight.
Ow. She just paid me back for hitting her on the knee. I'm very sorry.
Can we just call you Tanya Harding?
I don't know. Go ahead. At this point, you can call me anything.
Just anyway. Nursing my wounds.
Okay. Moving along. Maybe we should edit that part out.
Yeah. Talking about battle wounds in a podcast. No one will ever want a podcast with this again.
No. Well, remind me not to sit next to Julie next time.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Maybe sit on our other side.
Can I sit by your baby? I'm a cute baby.
Oh, thanks. I want to see pictures of your baby, too.
Okay, I'll show you after. I have them in my purse.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Shanda will be the one who burns. Is that going to put her in the next book, right?
Actually, now that you mention that.
Oh, and the Tanya Harding thing, that's right.
Okay.
The mild manner podcaster that
goes secretly violent.
When good girls go bad.
I think that's been done in a different way.
Not in an LDS way.
Not in an LDS way. Oh, dear.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast.
Not from our not station from us. Here. Yes. We better not go there.
Yeah. No, have you seen how much plaid the Canadians wear?
I think you're thinking the Norwegians. They had some styling pants there for the curling.
Yes. I wasn't necessarily talking about the Olympics.
Oh, sorry.
I just mean in general.
I don't know.
And she hit me again after she made fun of my country.
All dressed.
All dressed.
That brings visions of prom to me. I don't know why. Just
your prom chips.
Prom chips. I don't know. Prom that was chips. Just a...
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.